Thank you for our brothers and sisters leading us as we come in praise to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, that you'd send your Son to die that we might have life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to pause tonight and be thankful and grateful for all of your blessings to us, all of the spiritual blessings we have in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that we might have victory and hope in our despair and joy in our trials and troubles. Lord, we pray for all of our boys and girls and all of our teachers and all of everything happening on this church campus tonight, and for the many hundreds of people who are here, and boys and girls all the way up to young adults and senior adults and everyone in between. We pray that you would be pleased with what we are doing as we seek to study your word and to learn how to be like Jesus and to carry out ministry in the name of Jesus. So we pray that as a church, we would be pleasing to you and that you would find us doing what you've called us to do. Now we pray tonight that you would help us as we think about living like Jesus and learning how to live like Jesus. By the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray you'd help us engage in some of these things that we must do. We must carry out and live by these spiritual habits that were the Lord Jesus' habits, so that we might overcome sin in our lives and we might have victory day by day. So, Lord, we give this time to you now. We pray that you would open our minds to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, it's good to see all of you tonight. Make sure that you have the outline, that they're at the door. And look, I'm just going to say to you, this material we're doing is a little bit different from just going word for word through a different book. We've done that. We will do that. And we've done it for many years. But this is more practical. This is a set of tools that I want you to have so that you can be equipped to live for the Lord Jesus. So you may want to just, you know, when you take these home, put them somewhere where you have them. And if you can, you're able, we'll have them here week by week, but make sure that you know where they're at. If you have, if you don't have it in front of you, you need to make sure that you can, and those of you listening online, may the Lord bless you. We always miss you. We know that many of you cannot be here, but we thank you for joining us wherever you are tonight. So we gave out last week this illustration. It's called the word hand, the word hand. And so even if you don't have it, this will be important tonight as we study, because Scott, can you turn this up a little bit? I'm like I say, I'm either deaf or have a lot of wax in my ears. Would you just bring that up a little bit for me? Thank you. I appreciate it. There's a process to this, and I mentioned to you last time, the old way of saying it is, if you hold your Bible, it's gaining a grip on God's Word. How do I gain a grip on God's Word? Well, I have to have my whole hand. The point is, if I can't hold it with my thumb, I can't hold, it's very difficult with just two fingers. And so if I have all my hand on it, I can gain a firm grip on God's Word. That's what we're trying to do. And I asked you last week, and I was exhorting you, what do you do with your Bible? And how do you use your Bible? Well, tonight we continue on. So quick reminder, we started at number one, which is your little finger. You hear God's Word. And on your outline, it was number one, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So all of us, so tonight we're going to hear God's Word. We're going to read it, and to some degree study it and evaluate it. But there's a progression here. We hear it, and then we read it. We had down there number two. What did the Lord Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So your Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we call the Word of God. They're the words of God. They're the very words of God. So this is what we live on. We don't just live, our diet does not just consist of what we eat in solid foods, in foods. It is, we live off of God's Word. this is so vital for me to say to you. So when I don't have, now this is personal testimony, but I can also speak to you about it, just observing it as a pastor for all these years. When people don't have strength to overcome, you see, God designed for us as a result of being saved to overcome our sin, to overcome temptation, to overcome, not to succumb, but to overcome. And so the reality is we need something that gives us the strength to do that. So where does it come from? Well, it starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Word of God. So we must hear it. We must read it on a regular basis. And I talked to you about that. And I encourage you again, if you don't have a Bible plan, you can start reading the one we use for the church. And if you, some of you have your own, but that's fine. I hope you read your Bible today. But you can read your Bible. You can read it a chapter a day for 5 days a week, and in a year you can read the New Testament. We call it the 5x5x5 plan. So they're available. I think we have some in here and all the rest. Then we come to studying God's Word. We come to studying God's Word. And then as a result, now there's a progression here. I'm hearing God's Word, so it's having an impression on me. By the way, I brought it back tonight. So some of you may do it in your Bible. I do that sometimes. When I'm hearing other people preach or teach, I'll make a note of either a verse or a key thought. I'll note it in my Bible, but as quick as I can, I get it to this book right here or whatever you use. And I'm going to give you some samples of how you can do this yourself. But you see, what you start with hearing God's Word and reading God's Word, you start, all of a sudden things start standing out to you. Look, some of you have been reading the Bible like me for a long time. And so you're reading through the Gospel of John, and all of a sudden something about the Lord Jesus comes out of the Bible different to you this time. You know the story. It's not a lack of knowledge. Most of you in this room, I know you. But something's different this time as you're reading it. You've got to pay attention then. Pay attention. So something's, you're seeing something rise out of the text, something, a word or a phrase or something. All of a sudden, so you're reading, you got to note it, and then you mark it somewhere where you can study it. Study, sometimes, some of you are still thinking that study means you got to go write a term paper. That's not what this is about. Studying the Word of God, I'm going to give you a good verse on this in just a moment, has to do with spending a little bit more detail on the words in the Bible. So we have here this matter of study. So let's go to that and look at these verses. I want to give you a different one than's on your outline. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 24 and look at verse 21. Now remember, follow me along. I've been hearing God's Word on something. So for right now, this is something, all look, I'm the pastor of, I believe, everybody in here. So here's my point. When Pastor Mike is doing what I'm doing on Sunday morning, I'm having a conversation with you. Here, Proverbs 24. Now you got to do two things at once. You got to find that in your Bible and listen to what I'm saying. Okay, and that's going to be a challenge, but you got to do it. Proverbs 24, but listen to me. So I have this, I'm talking to you when I preach on Sunday mornings. I'm having a conversation with the church. My task and responsibility as the pastor is to try to speak. Look, it's a really broad group of people in there. And I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, not hurt your feelings, but you know who listens the best? The children. I'm serious. I get reports from their parents. Like the week that I was talking about the importance of honoring your parents, and I read the story of King Solomon, who got down and bowed down before his mother, Bathsheba, when she came in the room, and I got the text after church. My two kids, one of them's 5 and one of them's 7, bowed down before me when we got home today. We didn't give them that assignment. Go bow down to your kid, your mother, your father, your mother. My point is, so I'm having a conversation with the church. We're talking about hope and despair right now. So as you're hearing it, as you're reading with me, we go to these Psalms we're looking at. You make a note. I put them here. I try to do it because here's what I really believe. I really believe that as I read my Bible, the Holy Spirit is pointing things out to me. You see, I'm past reading the Bible for information. I'm reading this because I need this, because there's a lot going on in my life and I need the Holy Spirit's help on how to deal with it. So where am I going to go get it? Right here. But I have to note the signals that the Holy Spirit sends. This is this point about this chart. I got troubles going all the time. There goes the line up. But the Holy Spirit is, I'm a believer, and the Holy Spirit's working in my mind through the Word of God, through circumstances. But then there are some habits, we're talking about the first one, that I have to do in order to become like Christ. So follow me. So I write it down because I need to go back and look at that. It might be a word, and I'm going to illustrate it tonight. I'm going to illustrate the whole process that's been happening in my personal life. I think that's the easiest way to do it. But before I do, let's look at an example of what it means to study God's Word. Proverbs 24:21. This is in the section of precepts and warnings. And I've spent a lot of time teaching the book of Proverbs, and you can go back and listen to that material. I can't repeat all that, but you see you have these layers given to you in the book of Proverbs. When you read it, some people read it and say, well, every verse says the same thing. Well, no, you're not actually reading it if you think that. But it's a set of precepts and warnings. So this chapter is a set of precepts and warnings. When you read your Bible, remember the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to you. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Listen to what God is saying. My son, my daughter, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change. For their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that will come that comes from both of them. So that's about associations. But then we come to this statement. There have been some sayings that have been given, precepts. Now notice, 23, these are the sayings of the wise. To show, these are the sayings of the wise. And so, to show partiality in judgment is not good. And he who says to the wicked, you are righteous, peoples will curse him, nations will abhor him. So you go on and you see this. So here is this message, here is this word from God speaking about these precepts. Now go back a chapter. Chapter 22, verse 17. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. Now we're talking about life and conduct, the way we live. And some other things have been said at the top above this. But now, verse 17. Here's a good description of what it means to study the Bible. Number one, we don't use this word much in English today, but it's a good word. I read from the New American Standard. Incline your ear. You know what that means? It means turn your ear and listen to this. Pay attention and hear the words of the wise. Notice, and apply your mind to my knowledge. That's what study is. It's hearing. It's, reading or paying attention and applying your mind to my knowledge. Notice, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. That is this knowledge, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. What am I saying? I'm saying that studying God's Word has to do with inclining your ear and applying your mind. You have to put a little bit of effort into it. Now, on the table, I've given these out to the church for all the years I've been here. I've written a number of little booklets for our church, and they're all on the website. They're all free. But I give them to the church because it's my gift back to you for what I believe will be helpful to you. And so on the table, there are two volumes of how to study, one example of how to study the Psalms. Take one if you want one. I'd really like for you to take it. It might be something you could do sometime, and you can just follow it through. It's very simple what you do with it. Number one, you listen to the Word of God and you observe. Secondly, what you read, and then you, after you observe it, you make some notes about it, and then you apply it, and then you pray about it. There's four simple steps. So that's this whole idea of study. Now, let me say this also. We're studying here tonight. So we study as a group. We study in groups. But we also study individually. Some of you do more of that than others. There's no reason to ever feel guilty about it because your time sometimes doesn't allow you to study on your own like you'd like to. But that's why we study together. That's why we have all kinds of Bible studies. We've got them going on Tuesdays. We've got them going on Wednesdays. We've got them going on Fridays. We've got them going on Sundays. That's what we do. We call it Sunday school or Bible study. The point is, we're in God's Word together and we're learning. We're learning God's Word. So look on your sheet. There's lots of ways to study the Bible. And at another time, you know, I'll give you some detailed examples. We'll do some of these. But right now, I'm just talking about them. We read reflectively. Every time you read God's Word, you read reflectively. So on your papers, all this bundle of papers I've given you, try to find the one that's called Bible Reading Highlights. You should have another little sheet, two little sheets that have have blanks on them. And I'm giving you these as an example. All right, find those. And so when you're studying God's Word, notice the process. If you find the one, Bible Reading Highlights. So as you're reading your Bible, this is my point about you can't read your Bible without a pen and a pad. Or, okay, I'll give in. All the young people tell me that the ship's already sailed and I need to give in about using devices and such to do Bible study. Okay, the ship sailed, but I'm almost 70 years old and I'm stuck in a rut and I don't care. I'm using a pen and a paper. There you go. One guy's with me. But my point is, however you record it, record it. Some do say, well, I just take it on my phone. And I'm not judging. I take it on my phone, I highlight it, and I put it on a place where I can go back to it. Great. However you get it done, pay attention to what you're reading. You're not just reading this like your newsfeed. You're reading this to live on it. You're reading this because you need God to speak to you. People say, oh Lord, speak to me. And the Lord says, well, read your Bible. Note what I'm telling you. So stay with me. Notice. You read your Bible. Notice on the Bible reading highlights. You, what day is it? Well, you write it down. Where did I read in God's Word today? Well, I read in wherever. The best thing I marked in my Bible reading today was this. So what came out? What stood out? See, this is the point. What stands out from what I'm reading today? It might be a question. It might be a name. It might be a phrase. Who knows? And then what this Bible passage means to me. This stuck out to me because of this in my life. This is why this meant something to me today. Well, after you record these for a season and keep up with them, I go back and read them. And guess what I discover? Boy, I'm sure glad I was looking at some of that because of what now I've gone through. This isn't like accidental. God works through the reading of His Word. So that's one example. And by the way, there's a little chart there that just gives you all the translations of the Bible and where they are. So Pastor Mike does the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. It's word for word. So I had a 13-year-old in my office on last week. So I said, the 13-year-old, he asked an excellent question. We were talking about the Bible. He said, well, what does it mean, translation? I said, you have won the prize. You're a smart kid. What does it mean, translation? So I went and got my Greek Bible and I brought it in there. I said, okay, read this to me. He goes, what in the world is this? I said, well, that's your Bible. Read it. I can't read that. Good. You're getting another A. Then I brought the Hebrew Bible in there. Here, read this. What is that? That looks worse than the other one. Yeah, that's Hebrew. Well, read it. Read that psalm to me. I can't. Now, I gave him his English Bible. Now, read that psalm right there to me. That's a translation. Now, on the website, I promise to do it. If you'll go to the website, I put a really good little, it's about 25 minutes long, but you need, if you've never paid attention nor know the story of how we got our English Bible, go out to the website, go to the Living Like Jesus thing, it's at the top, click it, it'll take you to YouTube and you can watch it. You should listen to it, it's worth your time. The English Bible you hold in your hand is a gift. My point is, I want you to know it as word for... So if I'm studying as I'm trained to do in the languages, and I'm reading now Proverbs from Hebrews, the Hebrew tongue, you're reading it in your Bible. Well, it's pretty close to how it reads in the Hebrew Bible, in the New American Standard. So that's why I do have a preference. And of course, then it's nice to always have another Bible like the New Living Translation that's on there called the NLT or the Message. And you don't read them as your primary Bible, that's your study Bible, but they're a Bible that's called a paraphrase. It puts it to modern English and it helps you sometimes to get over humps. So we study, we pay attention, we apply with our minds. So look at some of the notes I've given you here on your study page on number 3. Record your findings. Put them somewhere. Write them on a piece of paper. One of my friends just has a little, you know, one of those little tiny pads in his pen, and he just has it with his Bible, and as he's reading, he's just jotting, you know, a verse or two or a word or phrase, and then he just keeps those and takes them and does it later. But he's recording. Record what you read. Brothers and sisters, record what you read. Review your findings from your study. Pray through them. Apply. Ask yourself. It's fascinating. If you'll do this 1 week, I promise you. Do this 1 week and then go back and say, look what I was reading and what I was noticing or what the Holy Spirit was pointing me to in just 1 week. Everybody can do this. Don't have to make this hard. And then when you study the Bible, it requires repetition. It requires concentration, comprehension, reflection. I promise you this, the Lord Jesus was a rabbi. He studied the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. Just read in the Gospels what he had to do when he was dealing with scribes and Pharisees. And by the way, do you know when I use the word Torah? Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Torah. Every rabbi had the complete Torah memorized. Memorized. So the Lord Jesus applied in, he's the Son of God, fully God and fully man. But as man, as a man, he didn't get like a pass, a cheat card, like he already knew all this. He had to learn just like we have to learn. He grew up as a boy having to learn these things in synagogue and go to rabbinic school. My point is, we have to discipline ourselves to godliness, and there's something you must do. I always talk about Ricky Chapel and Tom Herring and their golf matches. And so Tom Herring was here this morning, and here's Ricky tonight. And Tom was trashing him a lot in the early time. That's all right. I stood up for Ricky and said, I think Ricky can beat you once in a while. How's that? But Ricky did want me to tell you, he does work on his golf swing, but he does read his Bible. Okay, I got it in. The point I'm making is we got to practice. We have to have these habits. And there's something that once you learn to do them, they're a joy to you. You look forward to it. So Bible study, tools for Bible study. A Bible you can mark in. Look, again, I've got my, here's mine tonight in Proverbs. There I am. And I have my two secret weapons, my pink marker and my yellow marker. But I know what that means. That doesn't mean anything to you. But I have my own method. You'll develop your own method on how it works. But then we come to memorizing, and I want to get there now. So we come to memorizing. I want you to go to Psalm 119, famous psalm. Most everyone in this room knows it very well. My point is, have a study Bible. Now, when I say, let me go back to that. When I say study Bible, this is my preaching Bible. It's not the best one for me to illustrate this, but I'm not talking about study Bible by Dr. So-and-so. I'm talking about having a Bible that has your verses in it, and then it has cross-references in it. Sometimes they're in, if you know what a cross-reference is, it's all the little verses in the middle. They're either down the middle margin or they're on the sides. Why do you do that? Because to study the Bible, the first principle we learn is you compare one verse to another verse. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Those margins, those Bible cross-references have been being accumulated since the 1500s. You're reading the Bible with God's people through the ages. as they have noted things, they've been added. If you want the technical term, it's called the apparatus. If we don't, you know, I've told the pastors, if we don't teach people what the apparatus is and how to use the apparatus, we're not pastors. You have to teach people how to compare scripture to scripture. Oh, the word says this. This word is used here, but how's it used here? Are you following me? That's study. So the cheater Bibles are when you get to, you know, Chuck Swindoll's, you know, study Bible, or whoever your favorite flavor of preacher is, your most famous, you know, the Adrian Rogers study Bible. Okay, great. I'm all for these men and what they taught. That's below the line. That's below the line. I don't even want it on the line. I don't want to cheat. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit, not Dr. Adrian Rogers. Amen. I'm not being belittling. I love Dr. Rogers. May the Lord bless him. He's in heaven. The point is, you dig your own gold. You go find your own truths from God's Word that will change your life. Yes, you can have those to compare things to, but that's another step. The first step is self-discovery. You and God's Word. How shall a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119:9. By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured. Most of us learned it hid, right? Your word have I hid in my heart. Kids are learning this down the hall right now. Children are learning this. I can guarantee I know what Pastor Ken does. He does scripture memory on sheets and hangs them on the wall, and the little kids learn it simply, and the older they are, it gets to be more detailed. He does it. He does it. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then notice 15, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes and I shall not forget your word. How is it that I keep God's word? How do I keep a hold of what I've heard and what I've read and what I've studied? Okay, you got to internalize it. You got to memorize it and you got to meditate on it. I have heard every excuse in the world for why adults think they're not supposed to memorize. But it's amazing. When I talk to men about who love to hunt, they've memorized everything about hunting. I'm talking about down to, you know, so I've got a grandson who's a bow hunter. He's telling me the other day about this bow. It's the G7422. I have no idea what he's talking about. Oh, it's the G7422 is the most powerful. That puts the... Great. That's wonderful. He learns all of that by memory. He can live off of all the information about bow hunting. I can pick all kinds of disciplines. What we value, we remember. What we value, we memorize. And I don't want to hear about, you know, dementia. Well, I have dementia and I can't remember. You know what will help your dementia? I'm serious. Ask your doctor. Memorizing. Memorizing. Well, I'm not able to think like I used to. Well, okay. How much of that is just laziness? And how much of that is really a neurological issue? I'm just challenging you, memorizing God's word. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Now go to the other little page I gave you. I'm just giving you examples here. Go to the one that says hiding God's word in my heart. And here's a little principle I want to tell you. What you memorize is what you meditate on. And what you memorize is what you studied. And what you studied is what you read. And what you read is what you heard. Are you with me? I just went back across the hand. You see, they all go together. They all go together. Now, you know, when you come on Sunday, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on current events or telling jokes. I got about 25 minutes of time to speak to our people, and not all of us can be together every week. So at best, I speak to most of our people about half the time, about half of the 52 weeks. That's all the time I got. That's the only chances I got. So every word is valuable. And if I waste your time in there, I'm not trying to. I try to get it, pack as much as I can in. Why? Because this is how we live on God's Word. I want to be a part of God's task of helping you to see where you need to grow in your life. And that's why we're on Hope in Despair. So now, memorizing and meditating go together. I'm also talking about what I do. I'm never going to talk to you about anything that I don't do. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. So here's a simple way. Week number one, the scripture verse I want to remember. I reflect on the verse. I remember. Here, I read the chapter. So where is it found? You know, and I ask myself some questions, and here they are. So let me give you mine for the next little bit, and this will be the way we do it tonight. So, Pastor Mike, okay, thank you for all that. Since you're the who you are, what are you doing? That's fair to ask me. I like what Brother Jeff Clark said. He said he went to this one Bible study for years at his other church, and the first question that all the men ask each other, what did you read in God's Word today? Now that's putting somebody on the spot. I kind of like that. What'd you read in God's Word today? So I'm going to talk to you now about what I've been working on, okay? And a lot of you know me pretty well, and you've been around me enough. So I've been working on this, and I'm going to ask you to go to the verse, Proverbs 19:2. Proverbs 19:2. Be. Do you know what I mean by be? You know, when you have a verse and there are multiple lines in it, you know, if you learn poetry, you learn this, right? You know, A and B and C. So I'm only thinking about these days. Proverbs 19:2b. Look what it says. He who hurries his footsteps errs. Pastor Mike, what are you meditating on these days? Hastiness. That's what I'm thinking about. I come from a family where everybody was told, hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. I mean, I've heard it. Maybe I needed to hurry up. From mom and dad. Hurry up. And when I hurried up, then I knocked over the milk. When I hurried up, I forgot part of my homework. When I hurried up, I said bad things I shouldn't have said. Are you with me? So I'm talking about in my life, the Lord said to me, Mike, we're going to work on you and your hastiness. We're going to work on you and having a hurried spirit. So what have I been doing? Well, first of all, I studied it. What does the word hurries in this, what does the Hebrew word mean? Listen to this. This is really good. The Hebrew word means pressed. Sometimes we use that word when we talk about trials, and the New Testament word for trials is a word that means pressured. It's pressed. Hurried is pressed. Have you ever said this in English? I'm pressed for time. See, this comes out in our language, in our little sayings. Pressed is a word for it. Urged. Have you ever heard the word urgency? This is urgent. That you got to get busy. You got to hurry. It's urgent. And it's also another word, narrow, which is an interesting word. You see, so just knowing the word as it was used, and he who is pressed, he whose footsteps are pressed, errs. He makes mistakes. There's another passage that's related to it. When you hurry with your words, they cause harm. Have you ever noticed that? When you say things quickly, what did James say? Be quick to what? And slow to? There you go. Okay. I'm fast to talk and slow to listen. That's what my mother's been telling me all my life. You have two ears to hear and one mouth to speak. Have you ever heard that? Hastiness in our words. Haste, okay, this is my path. I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is what I need to do. Hastiness. So what I'm saying is, so I'm spending this time doing what I put on the paper here for you. Notice what it says. Questions. How is my life affected by this verse? Well, I'm a hasty person. I'm always the hurry up, let's go person, even if we don't have it all. Hurry up. Hurry up. Or When I'm worrying, I hurry. I've said that to the church. You know what worry goes with worry? Hurry. People get in a hurry. We're surrounded by people on the interstate that about kill you. They're in a hurry. To go to what? Everybody's in a hurry. Go to Walmart, you'll die. Hurry. Hurry, get the meat, get the bread. Hurry. Hurry. Hurry, get the kids in the car. Hurry. If we were in Florida right now, we'd need to hurry, wouldn't we? But we're not up there in Florida. We're hurrying. So my point is, I have a hurrying spirit. And the Lord is saying, no, you're going to learn to be still. This is the Lord to me. And know that I am God. I'm going to sit you down if I have to, Mike. You're going to learn this. You're going to slow down. You're going to slow down. And so I'm doing what I say on your sheet there under meditation. I'm muttering and musing. See it under your number 5A. The actual word that you read in Psalm 119 here that says, I will meditate on your precepts, the word can actually be translated, I will mutter. The word can actually be described as growling or moaning. The best example is, I don't know if you know this from the Wild Kingdom, but when lions capture their prey, they growl over it. It's a sense of satisfied. They have their prey. And now they're preparing to have a really good meal. Meditation. Americans don't know how to do this. This is the part of your... The problem is, if you cut off your thumb, it's really hard to work with just four fingers. If you cut off meditation, it's really hard to get to the place where you're going to have real change in your life. You see, I was just talking to you about what's really happening to me. The Lord is grinding on me, and so I take this verse and I've put it on my phone. I do that. I do a reminder, and oh, all of a sudden, when I'm in my biggest hurry, guess what comes up on my phone? He who hurries his footsteps errs. Every time. Boom, it pops up. Because I have to remind myself. I write it on a piece of paper on my desk in prominent places. I have it in my Bible. As I'm working on it, I'm only illustrating. You have to ask yourself some questions. Mike, to myself, why am I always in a hurry? Why do I wake up in the morning as if I've got to hurry up? Where is that coming from? When Paul says that when you follow the Spirit, it's life and peace. It's not hurried. I want to ask you this question as we finish. This is another part of my meditation. Can you name a time when Jesus was in a hurry? I can name some times when he was accused of being slothful. I give you the classic one. Remember, the word gets to him. Your friend is dying. Y'all remember the story? Yes, in this room? Remember? And it says he stayed two more days where he was. He got the word and he didn't go. But then when he got there, guess who showed up to give him a you-know-what talking to? Martha. Martha was the woman's version of Peter. I believe that in the Gospels. Martha, where in the world have you been? Y'all remember that? Now I'm using a holy imagination. Stay with me. I'm not wasting your time here. And the Lord said, these things have been done so that you can see the glory of God. When you do things according to God's time, you see the glory of God. When you push it and press it, you miss it. You miss it. That's why you can't manufacture the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can't manipulate these spiritual things. They take time. So you can pray for Pat, because I'm having to go through this thing of having to not be hasty and be a little bit calmer and learn how to be less. So here are my words. Hastiness, hurriedness, worriedness. They all seem to go together. Now, I'm just testifying as your pastor what I'm working on. But every one of you needs to have something you're working on. We're not in heaven. And this was what I was saying to you the other day about being teachable. We must learn to take these tools and make them our own so that we might have, what is it? Bible habits. Bible habits. I promise you, the Lord Jesus heard the word. He went to synagogue. He heard the word. It was read in synagogue. He heard it in rabbinic school. He heard it all his life. He read it. He studied it. He memorized it. How many times did the Lord say to those scribes, "Have you not read?" Remember that? Have you not read? He knew the Word of God. He lived on the Word of God. And then I'm convinced, he meditated on what God had given him to do. Listen to that great prayer of his in John 17. "I've accomplished the work you've given me to do." He thought much about what God gave him to do, and he did it. All right. So we finished Bible practices or Bible habits. Next week, we come to the second habit. That is prayer. Prayer. And probably I'll bring you some things that will surprise you because I want to talk to you about your prayer life. I want to talk to you about the practice of prayer in your life. How are you doing with it? Tonight, our hymn is this. I know I've got 1 minute. "Wonderful Words of Life." Philip Bliss, he wrote some wonderful hymns. You should have it somewhere on the back of your page. "Sing them over again to me. Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful Words of Life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life." That's what the church says when we gather to hear God's word. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. "Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner list of the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us." Don't you love that? "Wooing us to heaven." That's what the words do. They woo us. Hey, come up here. Hey, look up here where Jesus is. "Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life." Amen.